Today's sermon text comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 43, verses 1 through 15. Now the famine was severe in the land, and when they had eaten the grain that they had brought from Egypt, their father said to them, "Go again, buy us a little food." But Judah said to him, "The man solemnly warned us, saying, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' If you will send our brother with us, we will go down and buy you food. But if you will not send him, we will not go down. For the man said to us, 'You shall not see my face unless your brother is with you.' Israel said, 'Why did you treat me so badly as to tell the man that you had another brother?' They replied, 'The man questioned us carefully about ourselves and our kindred, saying, "Is your father still alive? Do you have another brother?" What we told him was in answer to these questions. Could we in any way know that he would say, 'Bring your brother down?'" And Judah said to Israel his father, "Send the boy with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and you, and also our little ones. I will be a pledge of his safety. From my hand you shall require him. If I do not bring him back to you and set him before you, then let him bear the blame forever. If we had not delayed, we would now have returned twice." Then their father Israel said to them, "If it must be so, then do this. Take some of the choice fruits of the land in your bags and carry a present down to the man, a little balm and a little honey, gum, myrrh, pistachio nuts, and almonds. Take double the money with you. Carry back with you the money that was returned in the mouth of your sacks. Perhaps it was an oversight. Take also your brother and arise. Go again to the man. May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man, and may he send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved." So the men took this present, and they took double the money with them and Benjamin. They arose and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. Finally, Joseph emerges from his suffering to the position of glory, becoming second in command to Pharaoh, ruler of Egypt, and thus overseeing not just Egypt, but the entire known world. Yet, Joseph's worldly glory is not what truly matters here. Instead, Joseph attains a position that enables him to rescue God's people from famine and death, serving as a witness to the glory of Jesus Christ. Joseph takes on the role of a savior, much like Jesus. It is in Joseph's moment of glory that his family, Jacob's family, will also come to share in this glory. In the same manner, we as believers will partake in the glory Christ has attained. However, that time has not yet fully arrived. Although Joseph has entered into glory, God leads Jacob and his sons through a path of suffering first, shaping them to become more like Joseph and ultimately like Christ himself. Believers too are called to participate in Christ's suffering to share in his glory. God is forming us into Christ's image through suffering. Today's passage vividly illustrates this reality. Before leading Jacob and his sons into the glory that Joseph has attained, God allows a severe famine. Through this famine, Jacob is compelled to let go of what he holds most dearly, and his sons are led to repentance, humbling themselves. Today, we will see how God guided Jacob's life through Joseph. Next week, we will examine how God worked in Joseph's brothers' lives. When Joseph is released from prison and interprets Pharaoh's dream, he is placed in authority to prepare Egypt for the impending famine. Consequently, Egypt becomes the only land with an abundance of grain. Meanwhile, Canaan, the promised land where Jacob's family lives, is severely afflicted by the famine. Yet this famine is a necessary and blessed reality for Jacob's family, for it becomes the means through which they will eventually share in Joseph's glory. Hearing that Egypt has grain, Jacob sends his sons there, except Benjamin, to buy food. Joseph, now in power, encounters his brothers, who do not recognize him. Genesis 42:9 recounts that Joseph's brothers bowed before him, prompting Joseph to remember his dream from years before. Recall Genesis 37, where Joseph dreamt that his brothers' sheaves bowed to his sheaf, and another dream where the sun, moon, and stars bowed to him. His brothers hated him for these dreams and sold him into slavery. After much suffering, Joseph sees God's dream fulfilled. These dreams were not merely personal fantasies, but divine revelations of God's purpose, now realized. Upon meeting his brothers, Joseph tests their hearts to see if they have truly repented for their past sin. He initially accuses them of spying, imprisoning Simeon while instructing them to bring Benjamin as proof of their honesty. Unbeknownst to them, Joseph hears their remorseful confession about mistreating him, and he is deeply moved, secretly weeping. When the brothers return to Jacob, they discover their money in their sacks, causing fear. Jacob is devastated, believing he has lost Joseph, Simeon, and potentially Benjamin. Initially unwilling to send Benjamin to Egypt, Jacob's fear and sorrow deepen. Eventually, with famine worsening and starvation imminent, Jacob must send Benjamin with his brothers to Egypt, entrusting everything to God's mercy. Benjamin was precious to Jacob, seemingly his only remaining beloved son after losing Joseph. Although Jacob had other sons, he cherished the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, above all others. Jacob initially refused to send Benjamin to Egypt, fearing his loss. Even when Reuben offered his own sons as collateral, Jacob resisted. It was only when Judah pleaded urgently, emphasizing that Benjamin's journey was essential to saving their entire family from death, that Jacob relented. This dilemma placed Jacob in conflict between his deep love for Benjamin and God's covenant promises. Jacob's willingness to finally release Benjamin into God's hands represents his faith. Though deeply painful, this surrender was necessary for fulfilling God's promise. Genesis chapter 43 verses 12 and 15 beautifully portrays Jacob's act of faith, entrusting Benjamin and his family's future entirely to God's mercy, despite his grief. Jacob's entire life was a process of learning to let go of earthly attachments and fully rely on God. Initially driven by his strength and cunning, Jacob repeatedly sought joy and security in earthly things, such as Esau's birthright, Laban's wealth, Rachel, and Joseph. Each of these attachments ultimately failed or faded away, revealing that God alone should be his true treasure. Now, Benjamin had become Jacob's last worldly treasure, overshadowing even God's promises. God used this trial to teach Jacob that true joy and security come from him alone. By releasing Benjamin, Jacob entrusted his beloved son entirely to God, believing that even if he lost Benjamin, God's promises would still prevail. Jacob's words, "If I am bereaved of my children, I am bereaved," express deep faith and surrender to God's sovereign will. Ultimately, Jacob lost nothing permanently, but gained even greater blessings through faith and surrender. Believers today must understand this principle. God's trials and tests are designed not merely to deprive us, but to help us gain greater spiritual riches. Jacob's painful surrender of Benjamin ultimately led to the preservation of his entire family and fulfillment of God's covenant promises. Similarly, God leads us through trials, prompting us to let go of our earthly Benjamins, those things we treasure above Christ, to receive richer eternal blessings. Our lives as pilgrims are marked by continuous processes of letting go. We must not place our ultimate joy or security in worldly possessions, honor, children, or even our own lives, but in Christ alone. Jesus, who willingly sacrificed his earthly life to accomplish God's purposes, exemplifies this principle. Through Christ's sacrifice, we inherit eternal life and glory. We must adopt Christ's perspective, considering earthly treasures as temporary and Christ as our eternal treasure. Yet, this does not mean believers must live impoverished or unhappy lives. Instead, it changes the principle and purpose guiding our lives. God shifts our deepest affections from temporal earthly treasures to eternal heavenly realities. Although losing earthly things can cause real pain, it ultimately leads us toward greater spiritual fulfillment in Christ. Ultimately, Jacob's surrender of Benjamin mirrors God the Father's willingness to give his beloved son, Jesus, for our salvation. Just as Jacob received Benjamin and Joseph back abundantly, God raised Jesus from death, granting believers abundant life. As John chapter 10, verse 10 says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We must remember that letting go of our earthly Benjamins through faith ultimately leads to abundant eternal life. Even when trials feel overwhelming, God's purpose remains gracious, to draw our hearts to Christ and prepare us for heavenly glory. Therefore, rejoice, not in earthly things, but in Christ and the eternal kingdom He has promised. This faith allows us to overcome all trials joyfully, confidently, and victoriously.